Welcome to the Money Watch Show. It is Sunday, June 14th. It's Flag Day. Mark, do you have a American flag to hang?
You know, every year that we do Flag Day, you ask me this question, and the answer is no, we do not have an American flag flying.
Should I get that for you? Do you need an American flag?
No, because you know what? I don't own this building by myself, so I'd have to get permission from my neighbors.
All right. Maybe
I will say, in my building,
yeah,
I am the Theo and I are the only two people that are actually born in America. How about that?
Oh, that's really interesting.
First floor. And yeah. My first floor neighbor is actually a big listener. She's a fan of the shows. She loves you, Jill. But
you can't imagine why.
She's from Austria. She grew up in Austria.
Oh.
But she's been here forever. And then second floor grew up in Taiwan. And then obviously Amanda grew up in Beijing.
And you grew up in another part. I see Mark also grew up in a very foreign nation to me. Is it Orange County or Rockland County?
Orange.
Yeah. Presuming I don't drive through Orange County because I must have to drive through it to get to something, right?
You don't go that way.
No, I really don't. No, I don't. I don't go that way. So all that being said, Mark, I have a flag. We like to put it out. But now I'm sort of feeling like I need a pride flag, too. I haven't even talked about it's Pride Month. I'm exhausted already. Halfway through the month, and there's 1,000 events that I'm doing, and I'm doing stuff for companies. I'm doing stuff for the LGBT Center of New York City. It's exhausting to be gay in June. That's all I can say. I'm getting really old for this.
Yeah, you do too much. You do too much stuff. You've got a few years on me, and you do, probably twice the amount of stuff that I do, and I feel
exhausted. No. That is not the case. You have your weekends are not yours.
No, the weekends are god awful. God, okay. I dread Monday through Friday is compared to the weekends, piece of cake. Weekends, I just absolutely dread.
Yeah, because you have all the kids stuff.
It's ridiculous. This crap did not exist when I was growing up. Nowadays, it's just nuts. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to go to this party. You got to go to that party.
Talking to one of my colleagues over the weekend, hysterical. We were texting about something. And then I said, well, call me if you want more information. He calls me and I'm like, what's going on? He goes, oh, I'm at a five-year-old's birthday party.
Yeah, it's endless.
And all the summer ones, all the summer birthdays that essentially take place either before, usually all squished in June. He said it's crazy. Nuts.
And now it's summer camp season. That's another thing that's very foreign to me. Was really not a part of my childhood growing up is this craze. I think, I don't know if it's
not a craze. Let me speak for the Jews in the house. It was we were very much a summer camp culture, at least in New York.
Yeah, I was not. And now with the kid, it's you got to do something during the summer because, if you're working parents, what are you going to do? There's all these deadlines, all this stress. You got to get this application in, that application
send
in.
Send that kid off to camp. Wait till you send, when my brother-in-law was first married to my sister and their kids were getting a little bit older and ready to go to summer camp, my brother-in-law is like, wait, I'm going to send my child away for 6 weeks? He couldn't believe it.
That will never fly. That is a zero possibility with
you. Okay, fine. Then you'll save all that money, but you have to find something to do. That's why you have to travel. That's why you have to have fun.
Well, there's all these local camps that you have around here.
Yeah, I know. Well, listen, maybe
You know what happened yesterday or two days ago with Theo? Don't ask me how he did it, but on Sunday morning, he locked himself in his bedroom.
What?
Locked himself in his bedroom. I don't know what happened. The doorknob was turning as if it normally would, but somehow it was not engaging with the lock and it could not open a door. Oh my God. He was freaking the hell out.
So I don't blame him. That's scary.
I had to get a drill I had to drill the whole thing off the door. I mean, there were pieces of metal everywhere flying throughout the house. What a mess. All this under the backdrop of trying to get him to his tennis class on time.
Oh my God. Unbelievable. Okay. Well, all right. Now we digress. Sorry, gang. That's part of this. The beautiful relationship that we have with you all is that we share these experiences. All right. So let's get back to our show. This is the show that tries to take the mystery out of your financial life. And so I wanted to steal some of the great questions you send us, because if you do have a financial question, you can always go to jillonmoney.com and click the contact us button and write us a note. But we have so many of them that I basically borrow from the emails that we receive. And then I do that when I go on TV sometimes. So we did that recently on CBS Saturday Mornings. We did a segment called Ask Jill. And these are your questions, basically. So thank you so much for sending them. The anchor is Meg Oliver. And we talk about a lot of different things during this segment. So here is the Ask Jill segment on CBS Saturday Morning.
We're going to go into the money bag here. We're going to take a first question out. It's Mark from New York. He's a newish investor. He wants to know if the S&P 500 is a good or bad investment.
So this is a complicated response because no investment is inherently good or bad. Okay. But what is the S&P 500? It's an index fund that replicates this index called the S&P 500, a broad array of 500 companies in the United States. The best part of an index fund is how cheap it is. Mm. It gives you big, broad exposure. And because it's just a basket of securities, it's never traded. No one's picking out the best or the worst. They're just saying, we're buying all the stocks in this actual mutual fund. I think this is an excellent way to begin your financial journey and your investment journey. The thing is that if you only buy that one fund, you're on the roller coaster. It goes up, it goes down. So you may want to think about just adding one other kind of fund, maybe a bond fund, maybe a little cash to buffer the pain on the way down.
All right. A little bit of a roller coaster there. All right. Let's go to Lenny from Georgia. He wants to know, I have a large chunk of credit card debt. My bank has offered a $25,000 home equity loan at 9%. Should I do this and pay off my credit cards, which charges me 29%?
Let me do the math. Hmm. Yes. Okay. So what's interesting about this, though, I always want to know what happened that caused that credit card debt. So obviously, if you've got some equity in your home and you can get a home equity loan, it is way better. It'll be cheaper for you. But I also want to kind of make a pinky swear with you because I want to say, hey, you know what? You can't do this again. So if you're going to make the move and you're going to replace a lower interest kind of debt with, you know, to get out of that credit card debt, make sure that we don't get back into credit card debt again because you won't have a second chance. But usually, yes, this is a very good way to reduce those monthly payments and get that debt paid off.
All right. Good sound advice. Let's go out west to Kim in New Mexico. She's 65. Mm. She's been struggling with her health. She's thinking about claiming Social Security now, but if I wait 2 years, my monthly income would increase by $270. What should I do?
Okay, there are really three magic ages when it comes to Social Security. There's age 62. That is the first time you can claim your retirement benefits. There's 67, which is considered your full retirement age for the majority of people. And then there's age 70. Now, the thing is, when you claim earlier than your full retirement age, like we have in this question, it means that you're taking a permanent reduction. So in this case, $270 less every month.
That's a lot.
Which can be a lot, right? The one like mitigating factor in this is that she says, hey, you know what? I'm not in good health. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're not in good health and you really need the money and there's no other way to make up that difference, then I'll say go ahead and claim. Okay. But for the vast majority of people, waiting till 67 makes sense. And if you can wait till 70, that's a maximum benefit. And don't forget, Social Security is indexed for inflation. So you will get more each year.
All right. We're going to go to Texas. And there's a question about insurance from Greg. He wants to know, when does an umbrella policy make sense? Most of our money is in retirement accounts.
Okay. So an umbrella policy is sort of this excess protection. So if something happened that was bad. So let's say you're doing a project in your house. Mm-hmm. A contractor falls down. Something bad happens. Your homeowner's insurance pays up to a certain amount. But now the contractor says, I'm suing you for more money. And if you have an umbrella policy, it will cover that. You can usually tack on an umbrella policy onto a homeowner's, an auto, an RV, a boat insurance policy. The thing is that was critical here was about retirement money. Mm-hmm. And then why I say that is that retirement assets are protected against litigation. So you don't really have to worry someone's going to go after your retirement account. If you can get an umbrella policy, they're usually pretty cheap. I'd go for it, but it's not necessary in this particular instance.
Okay, you're on a roll. We've got time for one last question. Aaron from Seattle writes, I'm a widow and my husband left behind a stack of savings bonds. The bank will not cash them out and neither will the credit union. Where can I possibly get this done?
Okay, this is a pain in the neck process, but you will get through it.
Okay.
So you have to go to treasurydirect.gov. That is the federal government's website. You have to open up an account there, and then you're going to link your bank account to that Treasury Direct account. When you make this decision, you have to end up sending in your actual physical bonds. It's really scary. Do it with a way that you can trace the mail system. But you have to know the only way to do this at this point in time is to go through Treasury Direct. That's your first stop.
Okay, Mark. So thank you for basically letting me borrow from you from all of the emails that we received.
Yeah, they all sound a little bit familiar.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I thought the one that was really very interesting about the savings bonds, because I have heard a few. So I got a little bit of feedback after that episode. Some folks who said to me, oh my God, I have savings bonds. And the question was, why don't all banks actually cash them? I don't know why, because that used to be exactly how you would deal with it. You'd go to the bank, you'd cash your bond, you're done. And I'm not sure why it changed, but what I am 100% sure about is if you have physical savings bonds, you must go to treasurydirect.gov, and you've got to make sure that you set up this account. And of course, I hate to say this, like, it feels so weird. I did it for my mother-in-law. When you send the bonds in, it's agonizing. You really, it's like scary. You're like, am I going to really do this?
Just assume those are lost, right?
Pretty much. And we had a ton of these things. Also, the other part of savings bonds that people don't realize is that, especially if they're old, some of them are no longer paying interest.
I have a pretty good stack sitting here.
From
like when I was born, baptism, you know, stuff like that, that, you know, my parents handed over to me years ago. And it's just, you know, I should do something with them.
Yeah. How about going to treasurydirect.gov, open up an account?
I do. Because I had the account from when I had my I-bonds.
Oh, right. So why don't you just deal with that, man?
And just send them in, see what happens. Yeah,
absolutely. They'll go. We had everything transferred. It was fine. Was totally fine. The other thing that I wanted to talk a little bit about was some of the Social Security questions that we get. Mark, I know that people really are concerned. They somehow think claiming Social Security early will prevent them from having any uncertainty if the Social Security system changes. And for those of you who are really freaked out about Social Security, not only do you need to really keep in mind the 62, 67, and 70, those three ages, but even if you claim early, even if you decide you are much better off taking that permanent reduction, if there's any change to the Social Security system, it's going to impact everybody. That means that if you have claimed early and you had a reduced amount, and then they actually reduce Social Security for everybody, that will include you. So your reduced amount will be reduced again. And by the way, in just a few days, on Wednesday, coming up this Wednesday, 17th of June, we are holding our next webinar about Social Security. So if this particular question popped out to you, you must join us for that webinar. The Social Security expert that we have is incredible. Her name is Heather Schreiber. We call her the Queen of Social Security. She knows everything about the system, about claiming, about questions around SSDI, questions about survivor benefits, questions about who should claim when. And she's amazing. Now, you can only join us live if you are a subscriber to Jill on Money Live. That is where you have access to quarterly live webinars, four of them, the entire back catalog of those webinars, bonus audio and video content. It'll cost you $45 for the next 12 months. That's it. Or, by the way, you can purchase single webinars for $15. So if you want to wait till the webinar airs and you just want to buy it for $15 because you have a real interest in Social Security, you can do that too. All of it is on our website.
It's just one of those topics that, you know, anytime you talk about it, the inbox just fills up. It's one of two things. Social Security is not going to be around, or I can take the money early and do better on my own.
And you might be able to some years.
Some people just cannot be convinced otherwise. You know, if you don't need the money, if you're in good health, you don't need the money. It's just, wait. But some people, it's like paying off a mortgage. Some people just cannot be convinced otherwise.
That's right. It's okay. But you know, you still may want to participate and get involved in the conversation. I encourage you all to do that. So all the information is on the website at jillonmoney.com. And so is that magic contact us button. If you click it, then a form will appear. That is the email we receive. You may see it on national news. Who knows? Otherwise, check the box. Come on the program live with us. It'll be so much fun. So do check that out. All of our content lives on our website, jillonmoney.com. You can subscribe to us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And of course, I always like to say that we want you to do something nice for someone else today. Change your work, change your wealth, change your life. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.